ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत। Fifth canto, chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrat. Text 31. Ye va uha tadratha charana nemi krita parikhatas te sapta sindhava asan यत एव कृताः सप्तभुवो द्वीपाः। Translation report by English, Srila Prabhupada. When Priyavrat drove his chariot behind the sun, the rims of his chariot wheels created impressions that later became seven oceans, dividing the planetary system known as Bhumandala into seven islands. Purport. Sometimes the planets in the outer space are called islands. We have experience of various types of islands in the ocean, and similarly the various planets divided into 14 lokas are islands in the ocean of space. As Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, he created seven different types of oceans and planetary systems, which altogether are known as Bhumandala or Bhuloka. In the Gayatri Mantra we chant Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam. Above the Bhuloka planetary system is the Bhuvarloka, and above that is Swargaloka, the heavenly planetary systems. All these planetary systems are controlled by Sabita, the sun god. By chanting the Gayatri Mantra just after rising early in the morning, one worships the sun god. When Priyavrata drove his chariot behind the sun, so with the blessings of Praghosh Prabhu, Trinakartha Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas here, I will try to speak if you something. In this particular chapter, part of our geography lessons are kind of revisited in a very different way. God, there are so many wonderful lessons that can be learnt from every chapter of the Bhagavatam, because since Bhagavatam is the body of the Lord, non-different from the body of the Lord, every part of His body, as Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmya, the Ganges is coming from his lotus feet, and Gita Amrita is coming from his lotus mouth. All are equally purifying. So from every word, every chapter, every verse, every word, so many wonderful lessons can be learned. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated it to Sanatana Goswami, later Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the brilliant, most brilliant man on earth at that time, gave 9 different meanings to one verse. And he thought there cannot be an other thing. And just offhand, without touching his name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu casually spoke 18 more. And when Sanatana Goswami asked, "I heard that you gave something," he said, he gave, without touching those, he gave 61 more. And he said, "I don't know, because you are a madman sitting in front of me, I am also a madman, I am just speaking." So, only one who is sufficiently mad can understand the seemingly mad recitations of this particular, especially these kind of things, when it says that one king drew a chariot around the sun just to compete with the sun, not with a competing mood though, as he says, Prabhupada explains, just for facilitating his subjects in be very comfortable. It says the sun is, you know, not sufficiently giving light. When we were Jalandhar, we realized at midnight, at the mid noon, the sun was looking like a moon with amidst the mist in Punjab. So, just to see that during summer it's not so hot and during winter it's not so cold, he created, or he traveled in a chariot which was as effulgent as the sun. In fact, much better than the sun. Because it was pleasing simultaneously, and when just it was cold, it was sufficiently hot. It's amazing how an ordinary living entity could, this is simply a fairy tale, almost like a fairy tale, it seems like. But then, if we actually understand the glory of the Lord and His empowerment, then nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible for a devotee. And therefore, somebody does something, devotees feel very happy just reciting about it. And in this way, they remember the Lord and their devotion to the Lord simply increases. So, how do we understand this? That actually he drew a chariot and the wheels of the chariot created seven islands and the seven seas. Somebody drives a chariot, leaves an impression for a few minutes, and then somebody, a truck goes through, then finished. And if really for a long time bullock carts and trucks go, in the villages they have like that. In the villages, sometimes if you see, in the center there is a block of earth running with grass, and on the other side it runs, and there are two grooves form. And all have to drive just like that. And by driving constantly, the middle portion increases so much, it touches the lower part of the vehicle. So, people go like that, one up, one down, and you know, try to drive. So, at best we do that, and that is also a problem. But here, Maharaj Priyavrat drew the chariot, and it's described that it created the seven seas and seven islands, and later, the whole transcendental geography of the Jambu Dvipa being formed, and then mountains, 1,000 yojanas, that means 8 million miles long, with trees. When one mango falls from top, it breaks up, and a nectar of juice creates rivers. People bathe in it, and the rivers of oils, rivers of ghee, rivers of liquor, oceans. So it seems a little very difficult to digest. Not the juice, but the message, but the information. So, how do we understand? It's very nicely described. How it's easily possible for any devotee who is empowered by the Lord. That's the power of empowerment. Bhagavad Gita, just to give a sample of the glories of the Lord, Krishna in the 10th chapter gives several opulences. Amongst this I am this, amongst this I am that. And ultimately he says, what can I tell you, Arjuna? How much can I tell you? Even Anantashesh, with his innumerable mouths, since time immemorial, is trying to glorify the glories of the Lord, but he hasn't yet come to an end. The Lord, his first expansion, has not come to an end. What to speak of him? So ultimately, just to give you a sample, because an intelligent man sees the sample and understands what is the product. So he says, just to give you a sample, and ultimately he says, Yadyad vibhutimat sattvam shrimad urjitamevava tat tadeva avagachatvam mama tejah aunsha sambhavam. What all can I tell you, Arjun? But know for sure that if you are captured and attracted and mystified by something glorious, wonderful, splendor of this world, beautiful things of this world, know it to be but a tiny spark of my glory. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, whenever he sees anything that attracts, that's why Krishna is all attractive. Bhagavan, primarily six opulences, but anything that attracts us, captures our attention and makes us admire something, it's actually an insignificant tiny spark of the original splendor of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavatam first canto, when Arjun returns from Dwarka and is completely dejected, morose, and Yudhishthir Maharaj asks him several questions as to why, what is the reason for that. At that time, Arjuna remembers, because Krishna has left, and therefore he is feeling very much, and he is not able to do the same thing that he was able to do. And then he says, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yename Apahartam Tejo Deva Vismapanam Mahat. Same thing, Deva Vismapanam. What Maharaj Priyavrata has done, it is astonishing even to the Devatas. The Devatas are not able to do this. Such powerful activity Maharaj Priyavrata did. So he says, Vanchitoham Maharaja. Arjuna says, Vanchitaha. Vanchitaha means I am now deprived of the association, O King Yudhishthir, Harina Bandhu Rupina. That Supreme Lord Hari, who very mercifully acted as our intimate associate, acted as our message carrier, acted as our only real friend, says, Yename Apaharatam Tejaha. Now that he has gone, he has put the main switch off. Yename Apaharatam Tejaha. Along with him, he has taken away all the powers he had invested by his causeless mercy. And Deva Visma Panam Mahat. And not ordinary power, but that power which actually surprised even the Devatas, who are very, very powerful in comparison to any human beings. That's why Ravana didn't bother to ask for protection against the human beings. They are like my lunch. I don't need protection from them. So Deva Vismapanam, even the Devatas, they are also surprised. That kind of activities he performed. And then Arjuna enumerates the glorious things that he did. How he defeated all the kings and pierced the eye of the fish through the reflection which was trembling. Unimaginable. He says, I did that. Then by his power, Bhima was able to protect and about kill Jarasandha, who was worshipped by all the kings, whose lotus feet, so to say, were worshipped by all the kings. He had captured practically 20,000 kings for offering as a sacrifice in Mahabhairava Yajna. So he enumerates so many things. With his power, I crossed the ocean of the army of the Kauravas simply as a, you know, puddle is crossed by a child. So he enumerates all these things. He said, now all of that has been just withdrawn. All of that has been simply withdrawn. So he was not either proud when he had it, nor he was dejected when it was taken away. Because he was simply an instrument. He was happy to be an instrument in the service of the Lord. And when Krishna fulfilled his mission and just withdrew all the power, he was grateful for the opportunity given at that particular time. And just simply remembering those wonderful empowerment and activities done, he is actually gratefully remembering and still in connection with Krishna. So, this is the consciousness with which a devotee actually sees everything in connection with the Lord. And if he becomes a part of that whole drama or executing the will of the Lord in this world, then he is very grateful. That's how they don't get, you know, kind of go into frustrated self-pity or become proud when Krishna empowers them and uses them. I remember one time Eklavya Prabhu asked this question to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in 96 Kumbh Mela. He was playing this bugle so nicely, and after the whole thing, many were had gathered and saw him blowing his trumpet. And then after that, he asked this question. There was a Bhagavatam class. He said, Maharaj, sometimes we do things very nicely and we become very proud. So what to do about it? We do it nicely in the service of Krishna, but sometimes there is a tendency that we become proud. What to do about it? So, do you remember the answer? But I remember. So, he said, suppose you chant your 16 rounds very attentively, and that is very inspiring to everyone. So, if you feel that, no, if I chant so attentively, I may become proud. Therefore, I'll do one thing. I'll chant only 15 rounds from tomorrow, so that I'll become humble. He said, no. We are supposed to do our best. Try our best. And if something happens, if you're able to inspire someone or you're able to inspire your own self, that's good. Be grateful for the opportunity to have given the chance to do something for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Lord and for executing His will. Just be grateful for any time, any moment that kind of an opportunity may be given. And Krishna may, any time, anyone, any place, under any circumstance, empower anyone. Actually, nothing of this seems a wonder when we see the most recent Mahajan we have had in our own experience, and that is Srila Prabhupada. Actually, the greatest miracle is not this, driving a chariot and creating. Because these are all, in one sense, used to fulfill the mission of the Lord. That's also there. But the real miracle is actually transformation of the heart. To remove the veil of Maya, Mama Maya Duratyaya. The most powerful thing is to overcome Maya. And if someone helps us to overcome that, overcoming Maya is one thing, but then infusing the heart with pure love for Krishna, which is absolutely impossible in any previous ages also. There is no miracle more than this. And someone is empowered to actually go about and remove Maya and empower everyone with pure love for God, no more this one, more miracle than this. We take it for granted because it has happened just very recently in our past. Srila Prabhupada did that. Today to see some Western people coming and chanting Hare Krishna and having an attire of a Vaishnava seems almost like a casual thing. Very matter of the fact thing. But just think about it. What exactly? That's why one time Prabhupada there was a magician who was showing so many things. He was making things appear and disappear. So, all his disciples were a little awestruck by things he was making appear and disappear. Though something they didn't like. This fellow took out a coin from Prabhupada's ear, held like this and took out. They didn't like him handling Prabhupada like that. But then, they were awestruck. And then, he was also quite impressive. And then Prabhupada said, okay, you have shown so many magic, but now, can you make birth, old age, disappear? Disease, death, disappear? And that man said, no, Swamiji. He said, I can make it. Not only that, he made Krishna conscious or love for Krishna appear. This is his miracle. He makes birth and death impossible. Duratyaya. He makes it disappear. And he makes love for God, which is actually dormant, but layer and layer of mountains of things covered, he just makes it appear. All the anarthas removed and love of God appears. Tears flow down the cheek in love for Krishna. He says, this is the greatest miracle. And this miracle, like that, he just glanced at someone and so many people describe it. Seemingly, it just seems very difficult how it happened. He just glanced at someone. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Empowered simply to go about and, infuse devotion into someone. And therefore, from the hearts of those great souls, when we hear the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam actually manifests. And then to believe all this is not very difficult at all. It's not difficult at all. But somehow we are so much covered by this material consciousness that even this miracle that the Lord is doing moment by moment all around us, we are so dull that we don't see. This is another lesson. I was thinking these lessons of, so many trees and one jamun tree which is so many miles, millions of miles long, and one fruit falls and rivers flow from it. It's very difficult to imagine because our perspective is, unless we see through the eye of scriptures, we don't see things properly. That's material perception. And therefore, unless we have that spiritual vision, seeing through the eye of scriptures, not through seeing through this eyeball, which is conditioned to materialistic way of looking at things, with materialistic mind and materialistic intelligence, with whatever little experience we have in our tiny span of life. And therefore, one cannot see things as they are. So this perception, for example, the deity of the Lord. Now, in many bona fide religions, it is an offense. It's a great offense to worship any material form, any material imaginative form of the Lord. It's actually an offense. But then, we have this wonderful deity form of the Lord. It is explained, it is a fact. Even the Vedic scriptures are against materialistic worship of imaginative forms. Yasya, actually anything material, worshipping matter, simply matter without its connection with spirit, is mundane and it is ridiculed and it is criticized actually. Bhagavad says, Yasya Atmabuddhi Kunape Tridhatuke. One who sees Atmabuddhi, Deha Atma, one who sees that I am this body which is this bag of bile, mucus, blood, etc. Tridhatuke. That means seeing the self to be nothing but the body alone. Swadhihi kalatra adhishu. Swadhihi means mine. Me means the body, and mine means relation with this body in terms of my family, my community, my nation, my species, whatever. Swadhihi kalatra adhishu. Bhauma ijyadhihi. Bhauma, worshipping a piece of land simply because it has connection with this material body. Or bhauma ijyadi also means worshipping some materialistic piece of stone or things like that. Yatirtha buddhi salilena karhiche. And tirtha buddhi, going to the holy place simply to take bath in the water, but not meeting the people who can actually open our eyes to see the glory of everything that exists. Sa eva gokhara. Very strong word is used. He's like a cow or an ass. That means animalistic. Absolutely ass-like mentality. So that is criticized, no doubt. Then why are we worshipping the deity form? That's the causeless mercy of the Lord, that He manifests in this particular form. And that's the potency of the Lord. If the Lord is omnipotent, why can't He manifest Himself with all His power in one insignificant part of His creation? If He cannot, that means something is lacking in the Lord. So therefore, there's so many wonderful forms, mercy that has manifested. What does it mean to see things as they are? To see things as they are means to see things in relation with its source. As long as we don't see the source from which everything is coming, we don't see things in their proper perspective. And therefore, that conception or that vision is actually materialistic. And even though we see it perfectly, we analyze it perfectly, we understand its, you know, break down it into factors perfectly, but we absolutely don't see it. Pashyan api na pashyati. It's just like you cut this finger and you do PhD of this finger. You may know every nerve that runs, every muscle that, every vein that runs. But if you don't see the connection of the finger with the body, you don't see. Because, okay, after you know all that, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this finger? You know everything about it, but you don't know what is the purpose it's been created for, what is its use, what am I supposed to do with it? So therefore, actual seeing means Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Aham sarvasya prabhavo makta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha. Buddha means intelligent, and bhava samanvitaha. They achieve spiritual nature, the nature of that of the Lord. So actually, until and unless one knows Krishna, whatever he sees is maya. What is not? Because he is understanding, is believing something that is not what it is. It's not what it is, because he doesn't see the connection with its source. Therefore, Vedaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo. So all that we read, all that we understand, that whether it is like for this particular thing, Sukadeva Goswami is telling, I want to know more about Bhumandala. Later part in the chapter it says, I want to know more about this Bhumandala. Please tell me. Now why is he interested in this Bhumandala, which is some material geography? This geography lesson that Sukadeva Goswami is giving is Parikshit Maharaj is deeply interested Because it is in connection with the Lord. How the Lord has created, or how the Lord has empowered his devotee to create this material world. And therefore, when you see that creation, when we learn the creation, when we learn seemingly materialistic things, with full understanding that how it's created by the Lord for a particular purpose, and in remembrance of the Lord, such a thing is no more material. It's absolutely spiritual. Like Prabhupada gives the example of some sahajiyas who talk about only Rasleela, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, but don't discuss Bhagavad Gita. Don't discuss the first cantos of creation of the Lord, etc. Why? Because Krishna is involved. If Krishna is involved in the battlefield of... We are not interested in the battle of Plassey, battle of Panipat, battle of, you know, independence somewhere. But we are interested in the battle of Kurukshetra because Krishna is involved. If you love someone, anything he is involved in, we are also interested. That's a sign of love. And therefore, he says, oh, elsewhere also Parikshit Maharaj says, tell me about that cow, how he know, what he did, and all, if it is connected with Krishna. It's no more a material story. It's actually spiritual and it's very enlivening. So, all these lessons, more and more we hear about it, it's enlivening to Parikshit Maharaj because he sees how devotees empowered by the Lord are actually executing all the wonderful will of the Lord in wonderful ways. And therefore, there is no understanding as material. Narada Muni tells Vyasadev in the first part, Cant of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan Ivetaro Yato Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhava. You know everything, of course, Vyasadev. You know all these things. But let me tell you in brief, just essence before you start compiling Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Idam hi Vishwam Bhagavan. The whole cosmic manifestation is Bhagavan. Ivetaro. And simultaneously, he is aloof from it. Yato, by whom, through his potency, Jagat, this material world, is created, annihilated, and maintained. This is the complete philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the complete philosophy of the Vedic scriptures of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. The whole creation of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. Everything is created. Everything is in one sense Krishna. That's what the aphorism, Vedic aphorism says, that Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma. Nothing is material. Absolutely nothing is material. One thing is inferior and the other one is superior. In terms of its manifestation, its power, the internal energy is much more powerful than the external energy because it is perceived as disconnected from the Lord. But for the Lord, everything is equally. An insignificant example of how even from material energy, one can see the inconceivable nature of the Lord. The most brilliant example in the material world, which even anyone can see, is the sun. We are discussing about the sun. Just look at the sun. Can you imagine the power, the wattage of electric energy and the heat and power required to light up not just one room, not just one stadium, not just one city, not just one planet, but the whole universe. How much of heat, light and energy must be radiated at every second to light up the whole universe, to create daylight? We were coming recently from Pune to Bombay at night, and you saw Khopoli, you know, Khopoli or Lonavala. When you are traveling on that up from the mountains, you can see the city of Lonavala. Khopoli? Yeah, Khopoli. It's lighted up. millions of wattage of power is required to light up that city. And from a distance, what you can see is some just glowworms like lighted up. You know there is something like a city because there are so many glowworms. But you can't see anything there. But a glimpse of the sunrise, not even the sun has risen, and it is lighted up in such a way that you can see every detail of that city. What to speak of the full moon, full sun rising. And if that same amount of light, if this Bombay has to be lighted up, can you imagine the amount of wattage of power, energy and electricity required? Like the sun. And the whole universe is lighted up. There's only one sun in the whole universe. And it's lighting up. And this energy is created 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, since time immemorial. Where is the power coming from? Why the sun doesn't have a Sunday? It doesn't have a Sunday. It doesn't take a day off for recharging. We take some time to sleep and charge ourselves. But the sun doesn't sleep. Since time immemorial, it is radiating. And still, as it is, it's not reducing in size and disappearing into nothingness. This is a one insignificant, tiny spark of the creation. Yadyat vibhutimat sattva mama tejah ansha. This is ansha, insignificant teja. But this teja, ashesha teja. Yasyaghya brahmati sambhrata kala chakru. Ashesha raja samasta suramurti. Ashesha teja. That one sun in one little universe, there are billions of universes, and one sun, its energy and its power, we are not able to fathom. Where is the chance of trying to understand the original source of that sun, who has created innumerable number of suns? And still, Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. After hearing that, when you hear that, that same little Krishna who just touches his feet to Shakatasura and everything is devotees go into bliss. That same Lord is just crawling on the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. What glorious! Because the more you know the greatness of a person, and the more he simply presents himself, the more you start loving him. Everyone knows his glory, but how simple can he become? Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes, when you love a person, even the ordinary things that he does becomes extraordinarily exaggerated. And when you don't love a person, even if he does extraordinary things, what's so great about it? Just see. Krishna just kicks one little thing, something, and 5,000 years devotees are with tears in their eyes glorifying. And the demons who hate Krishna, he lifts Govardhan and says, actually it was not Govardhan, some boulder he must have just touched and put it to a cave. One fellow says like this. He says, actually Krishna didn't leave the Govardhan. He took all the people, all the Brajavasis into a cave and covered it with a boulder and held it. And told Indra, let's see. It's simply because he just hate them. That's envy. When you envy, even the extraordinary things are reduced to, even I can do it. Of course they try foolishly and unsuccessfully to imitate and fail absurdly. But when you love, just like one, Harishori Prabhu was that day telling, a small thing that Prabhupada did, he was just eating an orange, and then there was quite a distance, there was a dustbin kept, and it was close to the wall, and Prabhupada would just spit out, and that seed would go from his mouth, hit the wall, and exactly go into the dustbin. He went into ecstasy by describing this. Oh, Prabhupada, mystical, it's just mystic power. So some ordinary person who is hearing may say, what's so great about it? He may practice it for a week or two, and probably he may also do it. But then, what's so great about it? Prabhupada did something, he drank water without touching it to the lips, and you go into ecstasy. When you love someone, even in ordinary things that he does becomes extraordinary. Of course, when an extraordinary person, really extraordinary person like Krishna, does ordinary things, it becomes more attractive. See just how simply he is just doing it. Therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur glorifies Bhagwan. He says, without increasing his size, he showed the power of his lips by sucking Putana's life air. He just showed the power of his fist. So many, one after the other. Of his toes, by just touching that cart of Shakatasura. He showed the power of his, this one, by just embracing Trunavarta. Of course, he never saw it as a loving embrace. But in this way, without increasing his size, the same Lord, that is Bhagavata, real Bhagavan. He doesn't have to increase his size to, you know, compete with his competitor. Without increasing his size, just does the job. So in that connection, when we actually see, nothing becomes material. Bhagavan ivetaro. And that is the achintya, bheda bheda tattva. That the Lord, simultaneously through His energy, is manifesting His glory, His opulence, and His power every moment through every element of creation. But somehow, if we are so dull and first don't recognize Krishna and His inconceivable power, then pashyannapi na pashyati. We see but don't see. But when we actually understand, fall in love with Krishna, then nothing is impossible and everything is glorious and wonderful, and all these narrations simply brings us closer and closer to Krishna and to anything in connection with Krishna. That is the perfection of life, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was once telling, New Year, that was also New Year Day. So he says, people are getting intoxicated. The goal of life is to get intoxicated. The only difference is with what? One is intoxicated with some material liquors and beverages, or another is with love, pure love for Krishna. That intoxication, the goal of life is to be intoxicated. We should follow in the footsteps of the greatest madman, that is Nityananda Prabhu. Was intoxicated. And very Advaita Charya recognized this. He said, oh, Nityananda Prabhu has glanced his merciful glance upon these two intoxicated rogues, Jaga and Madai, finished. Very soon, this madman has seen those two madmen. They will also become sufficiently mad and dance in the association of these madmen. That is the perfection of life. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. The lecture is beautiful and wonderful, but I'm a little bewildered on one point which I want to clarify. You know, Prabhupada has really done a miracle that he has aroused Krishna Prem in our hearts, and the bottom line of Krishna consciousness is to love Krishna. Prabhupada has taught in such a simple and wonderful way how to love Krishna. You know, Prabhupada has said that if we give bhog to Krishna, we make nice things from him, like small things, we can love him. Means it is so simple, Prabhupada has explained. And on other hand, when we hear and read, like today's lecture, that Priyavrata drove the chariot and all these things, you know. These things, and when you are just now explaining the glory of the sun and so many other things that God does, you know, it is so rather frightening, I should say, when we think of those things on one hand, and we, our heart is so much, I don't know, frightened, wonderstruck, stuck, held in awe. And on the other hand, we want to love him in that any of the rasas, Prabhupada says. How can we do that? It is very, very conflicting, you know, that we want to love Krishna, but when we read and hear about his, these wonderful things, we get very frightened.
Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas, iha hoite Krishna lage sudhra manas. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Siddhanta boliya, it is all little philosophy, you know. What is the size of the mountain, what is the width, what is the length, how much is inside the earth, how much is outside, and so much other aspects of creation, etc. This philosophical part seems a little dry for us, while the activities and pastimes of the Lord seem so sweet, naturally. Because we are used to hearing the activities people in the world, and that kind of, we are attached to us, naturally. But he says, Siddhanta boliya chitte na karo alas. One should not be lazy to understand the philosophy, the greatness part. Because, iha hoite Krishna lage sudhra manas. When we understand his greatness, then that love will be of pure sentiments and not sentimental. Sentiments are good, but for those sentiments to be purified, we need philosophy. Philosophy means love for truth. So who is that absolute truth? Otherwise, our love for Krishna, and tomorrow you hear of somebody else performing similar kind of act, you get your love moves that also, or gets diverted. At least 80% for Krishna, 20% for this soul also, because almost he also does the similar thing. He also dances with someone else. He also speaks very eloquently, he also does things like that. He may do all that, but can he do this? You know who that person is? So, that's why Prabhupada said, religion minus philosophy becomes fanatic and sentimental. So, yes, this part of the creation part and the empowerment part, one has to understand simply to know his greatness. And when we know his greatness, then our love for him will be increased. And that love will not be sentimental, but it will be the pure sentiment, minus of all material conception. Sentimentality means pure sentiment plus material understanding, material conception. When there is a material thing added, that is the difference between compassion and weak-heartedness. Weak-heartedness means sentimentally somebody is suffering, therefore okay, you also go, and in the tense you also get caught. Arjuna expressed that weak-heartedness. He was telling, no, I don't want to fight with them. Poor fellow, they will also feel bad, I will also feel bad, my relatives, and you know, I can't enjoy the kingdom after that. I don't like it. Krishna, who cares whether you like it or not? This is your duty, this is what I want. So only after hearing the whole philosophy, nashto moha, all my thing, karashya vachanam tava, I'm going to do it. I don't care whether people like it, I like it, my mind likes it or not. I know you like it, Krishna, and that's exactly what is the goal of my life. Therefore I do it. So, philosophical understanding is very essential. Why Prabhupada said books are the basis? Books are the basis means they are the foundation of our sentiments. The sentiments are not based on simply some what is your mind feeling, or what your ego feels about something, but what Krishna feels and what I am supposed to feel. That love is pure love. Otherwise it is lust. I like it because he gives me enjoyment. I love Krishna because he gives me enjoyment. That's not love. That's very low level. I love Krishna because I want to please him. Love means to actually please the beloved. And please means to sacrifice anything for that. So that is the difference. Yes, Prabhu, one time up, but he had lifted his hand before 9 o'clock.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for this golden opportunity to inquire from you. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the Gayatri Mantra and the word Savitra in reference to the sun. Now, recently I was reading one Gaudiya Vaishnava book in which it was expressed that the highest understanding of the Savitra beyond sun is the source of all light and illumination, Lord Chaitanya. Could you kindly enlighten me as to what should be our proper and best understanding of this word Savitra when chanting Gayatri Mantra?
I don't know, you have enlightened. But I think in 12th canto somewhere, Prabhupada writes about Surya Narayan. Maybe Pragosh Prabhu can enlighten us on this. Would you like to say something? Can you pass the mic?
Hare Krishna. Put me on the spot here. I don't recall. I know that Srila Prabhupada does speak about Surya Narayan. And Prabhuji has explained very thoroughly in the class that we have to see everything in relationship to its source. Yeah? So even if we meditate on the sun, two points were made in the class that are very important. One is that the sun is, of course, described by Krishna. I mean, that was the whole class. As an amsha, as a fragment, right, of Krishna's potency. So, we can connect the dots. So,
Hare Krishna. He's getting another mic.
We connect the dots. And if we don't connect the dots, then our meditation is not perfect. It's not complete. And the other aspect of the class, which was even more significant and more beautiful, and it goes to Prabhuji's answer to the Mataji, is that when we connect the dots all the way back, they find their way back to this little child playing in the courtyard of Mother Jasoda. And it enhances our appreciation. Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes even the president, you go in the room and you see the president playing with his son, and the son is riding piggyback on his back. You know that example? Prabhupada gives that example? That he's a big man. He can order an army to go to war. He can order the banks to change the interest rates and change the whole economy. He has such power. And then his little child comes in and says, Father, come on, get down. I want to ride on your back. Now, an ordinary man can't come in and tell the president of any country, come on, get on the ground, I want to ride your back. No. You can't even tell him to get up from behind his desk and stand at attention. Right? But some little child comes in and says, "Father, it's time to play. It's time to for me to ride on your back." And he goes, "Oh, okay." I remember once when I was a child, when I was not a child, a young man, I remember seeing a film. And in this film, one little girl, the actress's name was Shirley Temple, very famous actress, child star. And she was, the story was an interesting story. Her father was an army officer in the Civil War. And eventually he was accused of spying on the other side, and he was put into prison. You know this movie, okay? Somehow or other, she sneaks into the president's office in Washington. Totally fiction, of course. But she sneaks in, and the president discovers her in his office. He says, "What are you doing here?" And she says, "Well, I'm here to speak to you about my father." And he's absolutely captivated by this little girl. And he sits her up on the desk and he says, "Now, what is it you want to talk to me about?" And she says, "Well, my father, he was accused, blah, blah, blah." Meanwhile, the president starts to peel an apple. Okay? He's peeling the apple and he eats a piece. He cuts off a piece and he eats it. And he cuts off another piece and he hands it to her. So they're continuing the conversation. He cuts another piece and he eats it. And he cuts off another piece and gives it to her. And then he cuts another piece, eats it, then cuts another piece and begins to eat it. And she goes, "Oh, I think that one's mine." And the president says, "Oh, yes, you're right." This is, of course, President Abraham Lincoln. And he goes, "Oh, you're right." And he gives it to her. And of course, it's a very touching scene, very cute scene. And it's so cute, of course, that 50 years later, I'm still remembering it. Okay? Huh? That's an example. So, Krishna is like that, only, of course, millions of times more cute and lovable. And the things that he does, just absolutely astounding. As a child. So if we meditate in Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvasva Tatsavitur Varanyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Yo Yona Prachodayat, we meditate on this and we think of the sun, but then we think of what's behind the sun. This, the impersonalists, they don't have this information. And the religionists don't have this information either. They have, Prabhupada said, just imagine this Christian religion has spread all over the world on the strength of one pastime, basically. And it's a ghastly pastime. Isn't it? It's a ghastly pastime. Last year, one man made a movie about this one ghastly pastime. And people all over the world went to this movie to see this ghastly pastime. We have unlimited pastimes of Krishna. We can hardly keep track of those pastimes. And all those pastimes are on the other side of the effulgence of that sun planet. We look at the sun, we can barely see the sun. Isn't it? You can only look at the sun for a second, and then your eyes are burning. And behind that powerful sun are these incredible pastimes of Lord Krishna. Incredible pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Shringadev. Bali. I mean, it's unlimited. So I think that's really an answer to your question. That's one answer. And since you stuck the microphone in my hand, I have to give that.
Now, I was also thinking that ultimately the source of everything is the effulgence of the Lord, Brahman effulgence. It's just a tiny reflection of that effulgence. And Krishnadas Gaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, "Yad Brahmopanishadi tad asya tanubha." What in the Upanishad describe as the Brahman, the bodily, that is asya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tanubha. That is the effulgence, yasya prabha prabhavato. So, in that sense, the original source It's actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's statement. So we see the original source. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.